Well, have you heard the Walt Disney Company is now insisting on openly homosexual Boy Scout leaders? And what about Russia invading Ukraine? And have you seen the Son of God movie? Is it biblical or not? We've got you covered today right here on The Line of Fire.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
You know, weekend is pretty quick. It's just 2 days, but often so much happens from Friday night after we're off the air to the weekend through Monday morning. A whole lot to talk about when Monday comes around. But I want to give you hope today. I want to give you encouragement. I want to share with you why my heart is still beating with expectation for revival in the church, for the coming alive of God's people in a way that will shake America for the good. Whole lot to talk about. Welcome to The Line of Fire. Michael Brown, thank you for joining us. Here's the number to call, 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. I have not yet seen the Son of God movie. I've been on the road ministering for basically 9 straight days on the road and doing ministry in 3 different states. So I've not had a moment to even think about going to see the movie, but many of you have. And there are many Christian leaders who are so excited about it that they encourage churches and pastors to rent out movie theaters to watch the movie. Did a special showing this past Thursday before it opened in other theaters on Friday. Major Christian leaders endorsing it. Folks like Ted Baer with Movie Guide, who've done such a good job in reporting on the movies and the media from a Christian perspective, he's strongly in favor of the movie. Faith-Driven Consumers, which was very critical of the Noah movie, has been very enthusiastic about the Son of God movie. Some people say, husband and wife producer, now they claim to be born-again Christians, but they're actually New Agers, and they've got some aberrant beliefs. Now, just because people accuse them of that is utterly meaningless. Everybody gets accused of something if you're a public figure doing enough, either for good or bad. But a colleague of mine, a Christian journalist, saw the movie in advance and had some concerns about it. He said, "I'm deeply troubled that it appears to leave out key essentials of the gospel," and wondered out loud if someone saw this movie and didn't know the gospel, would they understand it? Would they understand Jesus dying for our sins? Would they understand him rescuing us from hell? So, did you get to see the movie? If so, were you blessed by it? If you're a believer, follower of Jesus, if you've never followed Jesus or believed in him before, what impact did the movie have on you? Do you feel they preach the gospel? Would you recommend it to an unbeliever? Give me a call, 866-348-7884, if you saw the Son of God movie over the weekend. I'd love to hear from you about that. We will talk briefly about the massively important news of the Russian invasion of Ukraine, in particular, Vladimir Putin invading Crimea, the southern peninsula of Ukraine with a heavily Russian population. China is now standing together with Russia. Many are our president and administration for not taking a stronger stand against Russia. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on it, as important as it is, because there's a lot to absorb and understand before I can give you really strong comments and perspectives, but I will weigh in on that. And then, yes, you heard it right. The Walt Disney Company is insisting that the Boy Scouts of America begins to welcome openly homosexual Boy Scout leaders. That is correct. And they've told the Boy Scouts, if you don't change your policy by 2015, we withdraw our funding. Walt Disney Company. All right, we'll be right back.
God.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
The Walt Disney Company is cutting funding to the Boy Scouts of America because of its ban on gay leaders. Beginning in 2015, Disney will halt all donations to the group.
Yes, that was CBN reporting on the new Walt Disney policy, 866-34-TRUTH. Just a little while ago, that the Boy Scouts of America changed their public policy. And by the way, I'm not looking for these stories. I'm not looking for the latest sensational story to talk about. In fact, I pass by 5 or 10 or 15 or 20 or 30 or 50 every week. When I'm burdened to address certain things, I do. I wrote an article about this. Walt Disney insists on homosexual scout leaders. I'm not making this up. This is not a spoof. Wrote an article on it. You can read it at AskDrBrown.org, AskDrBrown.org. Click on the latest article. The thing that is so concerning is just a few months back, Boy Scouts of America changed their policy. And, excuse me, I'm just having a, I don't know why my throat has a little tickle here. If you're a little thirsty, just take a, if your throat's a little dry, take a sip of water with me, will you? Here we go. Okay, very, very little dead air time. In fact, you probably heard the water being drunk at that very moment. But it was just a few months ago we were told, well, they've changed the policy to allow openly homosexual boys into the Boy Scouts, which I had issues with for many reasons. If it's not about sex or sexuality, then why bring it up and make others uncomfortable or put others in potentially compromising positions with someone flirting with them or interested in them or whatever, which can happen with teenagers and kids. If they're attracted to each other or romantically inclined or whatever, it would happen if you had boys and girls together, wouldn't it? But anyway, we were told, well, that's just the extent of the change. Well, now Disney already is saying, unless you, Walt Disney, come on, the creators of Mickey Mouse and Donald Duck, makers of movies like Bambi and Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs. Disney is now saying, unless there is a change of policy, that they will stop funding the Boy Scouts of America as of 2015. And the change of policy is that they must welcome openly homosexual scout leaders. When I debated a local gay journalist about this last year or early this year, I said, of course, that's the way it has to go. There's no way they're going to stop unless that goal is realized. And he said, well, that was his goal as well. I'm not making this stuff up, friends, and I am not an alarmist or an extremist. I'm telling you the truth. However, if we do wake up to the urgency of the hour, if we do recognize the moral and cultural breakdown happening in America on a thousand different fronts, if we do recognize it, there is extraordinary hope. There is extraordinary reason that we can believe for change, and that comes from the God that we serve. Again, a few different things we're going to talk about today, but throughout the broadcast, I want to infuse words of encouragement in you in terms of revival, words of encouragement in you in terms of what will happen if we quit playing games or going along with a compromised Christianity or what's in it for me Christianity or just kind of preserve my own kingdom Christianity. If instead of that, we earnestly seek God with holy desperation. In 1989, I wrote a book called The End of the American Gospel Enterprise. 100-page book, but it was tremendously significant. From the early days that I was saved, so from the early 70s, I felt this burden and this calling to write. I remember writing a couple of paragraphs on faith as a new believer. And I was just stirred by it. It could have been one paragraph or two, but it was just very short. I felt I had this great insight and wrote this and showed it to my dad and was all excited by it and showed it to my pastor. And he said, well, maybe God's calling you to write. And we didn't really have a vision for Christian authors and writers in our church at that time. And then in college, I remember getting really positive comments by some of the English professors for the literary quality of some of the essays that I wrote. But I never had a release to write the way I preached. Now, I could lecture at a seminary and use sophisticated theological language and lofty philosophical thought processes, and I can write articles, scholarly articles, that are so academic that when I'm finished with them, I don't even understand what I wrote myself. I'm barely exaggerating. But I didn't have the release to write the way I preach, simple, clear messages. I'd write about a page, and then it would just stop there. So for 17, 18 years, I was often burdened in this way and would pray about it. And finally, in an explosive way, when I was away for a season of day and night prayer for a few days, God stirred my heart. I started writing a book, The End of the American Gospel Enterprise. It's a picture of the state of the church in America and the state of the nation with a promise of revival to come. I was stirred as I wrote it. I wrote it in a three-week period. There's a whole amazing story, maybe I can tell it one day, as to how Leonard Ravenhill wrote the foreword to the book and how God connected us. He was 82 years old, the author of Why Revival Tarries, the greatest man of prayer that I've ever known in my life. And when he wrote the foreword to the book, he said something extraordinary. In fact, let me read it to you. He said, "There's not much that has been written in recent years that has stirred me. This book stirred me. I read it with great profit. It is vibrant, and has an anointing. Mike's writing is bold but not brash, incisive but not insulting, alert but not acrimonious, daring but not damning. I believe Mike heard a word from the Lord, an echo of mercy from the voice of God." And then he wrote this, which absolutely staggered me. "I recommend that this book be read publicly, two chapters at a time without comment, in the midweek service of every evangelical church in the nation. If they will do that in each church, it could shake the whole country." And then he quoted from Luke 12, "Jesus came to send fire on the earth. We need a baptism of fire today to consume our carelessness and erase our effete efforts, to send us with burdened hearts, burning lips, and brimming eyes to a dying generation. Read this book and be ignited, then go and be an igniter of others." And the reason I'm sharing this with you today is because in this book, written in 1989, and then just with a couple of very minor changes when we put out the second edition in 1993, when I wrote the book, I had been consumed with reading about revival and praying for revival and studying about revival in America and in different countries. And I was struck with the fact that America had really been messed up at different times in our past in very serious, dramatic ways. That, yes, it's true that we're in a unique situation today. It's true that with technology and other things like that, we can export evil or good much more quickly. It's true that there are more attacks on the family and more decline of the family and more sexual license and on than we've ever seen in our country. But America has been really messed up in the past morally. I mean, remember, this was a country that sanctioned the slave trade in many of our states and in the name of Jesus at that. Remember, this was a country that until a generation ago in much of America sanctioned segregation. And this is a country that at times really departed from the faith on a very, very serious level. And I give instances of that. And here, listen to this. 1857, James Edwin Orr, the foremost evangelical revival scholar of the last generation. New York City. It was here that the great prayer revival took root, 1857. The churches at that time were becoming worldly and internalized, and immorality, violent crime, spiritualism, corruption, and atheism were on the rise. 1857. Can I read that again? The churches at that time were becoming worldly and internalized. Does this sound familiar? And immorality, violent crime, spiritualism, corruption, and atheism were on the rise. This was the state of things in America in 1857. What happened? Well, as I tell the story in The End of the American Gospel Enterprise, Jeremiah Lamphere, a retired businessman, become missionary, acting in obedience to the Spirit's prompting, began to promote a weekly lunch hour prayer meeting for revival. Only six attended the first meeting and 20 the second, but within several months, tens of thousands were praying 7 days a week around the clock. The revival spread from city to city, jumped across the ocean to England, Ireland, and Wales, and shaped the history of our nation. According to one report from 1857 to 1858, in America alone, over 1 million non-church members were born again, in addition to about 1 million formerly unsaved church members. At the height of the revival, there were over 50,000 new births a week. As a result of this revival hitting Chicago, the 40-year ministry of D.L. Moody was born, and within a decade, slavery was legally abolished. Get this book, The End of the American Gospel Enterprise. You'll read it, and it'll stir you for years to come. It's yours for your gift of any size. Call right now, 1-800-278-9978. That's 1-800-278-9978. Together, we're making a difference.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back, friends, to The Line of Fire broadcast, 866-34-TRUTH. Last week, I was in Tennessee, then in Florida, then in Michigan. When I arrived in Michigan, got my luggage, it was about 12:40 in the morning, about 6 degrees, and I did not have a sufficient winter coat. I didn't have a winter coat at all, but my New York upbringing came through just fine. Enjoyed the snow, the freezing weather, and the time in Michigan. 866-348-7884. Did you see the Son of God movie over the weekend or the end of last week? Did you see it? Were you impressed with it? Did it minister to you? Would you recommend it to an unbeliever? Do you think it adequately portrayed the gospel? Do you think it adequately portrayed who Jesus is? One of a number of things we're talking about today. 866-34-TRUTH. I have not seen it myself, nor did I see the segments from the Bible series that would have related to this. Dwayne said this on my personal Facebook page. I personally like the movie, but I've unfortunately heard other comments about it. I thought the message was good. Some have said, oh, if you really look into the couple behind this, they're into New Age. They don't really believe in Jesus. They profess to be Christians, and they were on this show and that show and have New Age leanings. Some may say, well, I don't care. It's still a good movie. Others might say, you can't believe everything you hear and read about these people. Angela said, I did see it. It did not accurately represent a biblical Jesus. I would not recommend it to an unbeliever. Glenn said this, overall, I was blessed by the movie. I think it gave a fair presentation of Jesus. There were a few bits of dialogue that were slightly different than the biblical account, but nothing serious enough to take away from the core message. The movie presents Jesus as the Son of God, that he proclaimed the kingdom of God, that he died on the cross, that he physically rose from the dead. So while that is good, perhaps they could have highlighted the atoning nature of Christ's death a bit more. And then he said, sure, I'd recommend it to an unbeliever since it would be a useful basis for discussion. You could easily use this movie to discuss it with an unbeliever, ask them their views of Jesus, and share your own. If you saw the movie, I'd love to hear from you. 866-34-TRUTH. And in the next hour, the beginning of the next hour, I'm going to have Chris Stone from Faith Driven Consumers on with me. They were critical of the Noah movie, but very positive on the Son of God movie. And we'll be talking with him. So if you don't get that second hour, as many of you listening do not on your radio broadcast, you can just catch it later on my website by going to askdrbrown.org, askdrbrown.org, and just clicking on latest audio. Let me go right to the phones, all right? A bunch of things I want to talk to you about, and I constantly want to remind you of the resources we have that address many relevant issues. Let's go to Austin, Texas. By the way, Susan, in Austin, Texas, beginning this past Sunday night, we are airing 1 hour from the Line of Fire at 10 p.m. in Austin. So if you go to our website, lineoffireradio.com, and just check on station listing, you can find out when that is. But Susan, welcome to the Line of Fire.
Thank you. I'm going to tell my whole Bible study about that on at 10 o'clock. I listen to you by podcast anyway, or live like today.
Well, great. Thank
but,
you.
We have a...
Yeah, in fact, it's... I'm sorry, it's 9 to 10 Central Time, and
perfect.
It's AM 1490 KLGO on Sunday nights, so you'll be getting 1 hour a week that we pick out of our 10 to get us a little closer to you in Austin. But go ahead, Susan. Son of God movie.
I liked it. I am a little more, I'm a Gentile Christian, but I am a little more into, I guess, understanding a little bit more about the Jewish culture, and one of the reasons I listen to you is because of that. And so I saw some things there that weren't entirely correct, and there was certainly some skipping around and a little bit of I felt like maybe a little more Catholic influence than perhaps, you know, Jewish input. But overall, I felt like it's a great thing for us to get people into the theaters. It's a well-done movie. It's the overall spirit of the movie, I felt like, was edifying and wonderful.
Great. Well, Susan, thank you very much for the input. I appreciate it. 866-34-TRUTH. If you saw the Son of God movie, love to hear from you today on the Line of Fire. Let's go to Boston. Paul, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Yeah, hey, how you doing? Yeah, I saw the movie at 3:15 last Friday. I was in between jobs, actually working a couple of jobs, and had some downtime, and I thought it was okay. I was kind of left short because I saw the miniseries, The Bible.
Yeah.
And I would say about 90% of the entire movie is pretty much what was shown on that
right.
miniseries. Now, there wasn't much, they didn't deviate much from that. But I still believe anything that brings, you know, the Word of God into the mainstream media, you know, it's good to have people talking about it, whether they be secular or Christian. You know, I mean, that's what it's all about. But I still felt like, I think it would be better. I don't mean to take away from sales or anything, but I would think that if a Bible study or something would buy that miniseries and break that down into a series of showing, you know, because they pretty much showed the New Testament.
Yeah, I'd heard that from someone else as well in terms of content. But hey, Paul, thanks for watching and for giving the input. We're going to hear from more of you as well, 866-34-TRUTH. We're going to hear from more of you a little later in the broadcast, so just stay right there. Love to get your comments and thoughts. There is something sometimes just in seeing a movie where you actually see a depiction of Jesus healing the sick or raising the dead or teaching or forgiving sin, or himself rising from the dead after the crucifixion, there's something, sometimes it's just so overwhelming and stirring because of the reality that comes across. Sometimes we believe things intellectually, we know they're true, but to really grasp, oh, it really happened, he really died for our sins, he really rose from the dead, you get stirred afresh and want the whole world to know about him. Others would say, well, you wouldn't know that he died for our sins watching it, or there were conspicuous things missing from elements. So again, I want to hear from you, get your feedback. I myself have not seen the movie, nor did I see it in the Bible series on TV. 866-34-TRUTH. Friends, I want to get into all of your hands the book, The End of the American Gospel Enterprise. It's the first book that I wrote on revival in 1989. It still burns bright. And it's one of these books that'll just grab you, and you'll keep reading it from chapter to chapter. They're short chapters, and it ends with a great call to prayer and a promise of the final outpouring of the Spirit worldwide that God will bring. It's yours for your gift of any size. Stand with us. Help us with a radio broadcast. We'll also send it out if you become a monthly torchbearer this week as well. So call to make a difference with us, 1-800-278-9978. That's 1-800-278-9978. May the fires of revival be sparked afresh in your heart and your life.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back to the Line of Fire broadcast, 866-34-TRUTH. We're covering some cultural issues in America today. We're covering some world issues in terms of Russia and Ukraine. And we're talking about the Son of God movie. If you saw it, I have not seen it yet, but if you saw it, I'd love to hear your impressions. 866-34-TRUTH, positive or negative. Before we go back to the Son of God movie, one of the reasons that I talk about what's happening in the culture today is to awaken us to action. On the one hand, to challenge us to have a heart of compassion that reaches out to those we differ with and those that we believe are living in ways contrary to God's word, to have a heart of compassion, to have a heart of prayer. Also to help us to search our own lives. Are we being hypocrites? Are we condemning one behavior but engaging in something equally wrong in God's sight? Are we condemning homosexual practice but involved in pornography or no-fault divorce in our own lives? So to search our own hearts, and then to stir us to pray for revival. Come on. It's easy to be complacent, isn't it? No one has to discipline themselves to sleep late. No one has to discipline themselves to overeat. No one has to discipline themselves to have a sweet tooth. But you have to discipline yourself to get up earlier. You have to discipline yourself to deny yourself or to fast or to not eat certain things that your flesh craves. No one has to discipline themselves to lust, but we have to discipline ourselves to be holy by the grace and help of God. Look, I would rather have someone tell me everything's great, everything's fine, all is good. You go to the doctor and everything's great, nothing to be concerned about. But that's not reality. The reality is that the Walt Disney Company is insisting on homosexual scout leaders. Yes, the Walt Disney Company. And you have cartoons on TV now where the superhero boy becomes a girl. If you didn't hear this when I reported on it last year and wrote about it, She's Ow. Listen to this description of a children's cartoon.
Meet the boy.
Yeah.
Who became a superhero.
Whoa.
To save the world.
The ring turned you into She's Ow.
As a girl.
I'm a dude.
No, he's a girl.
This dress is uncomfortable.
No, she's a boy who's... She's the boy who's a guy. He's just a guy.
Exactly.
Making the world a safer place.
Clever. I can fly.
Dressed as a girl. She's out.
Check me out. I'm a she-lebrity.
Uh-huh. I'm not making this up. This is not from some nightmare, bad dream. This is reality. These things are happening. This is what our kids are getting exposed to. One more clip about She's Out. Number 7, Joey.
I'm a dude.
No, he's a girl.
This dress is uncomfortable.
No, she's a boy who's... She's the boy who's a guy. He's just a guy.
Exactly.
Making the world a safer place.
Clever. I can fly.
All right. Just hearing it a second time drills it home a little bit. So what does that mean? We go around hating people? No. We go around getting angry? No. We think that's it, throw in the towel, Jesus is coming any second? Nope. It means we turn to God in fervent prayer. It means we repent for our sin. It means we ask God for a heart of compassion for those we differ with. And then we cry out to God for revival. My book, The End of the American Gospel Enterprise, which is yours today for your gift of any size, is the single clearest message I've ever put in print form of the desperate state of America and the glorious promise of revival. And throughout the book, I have stories of how God has changed parts of America, changed nations with revival outpouring. Can God do it again? Of course he can. Is it over for America? Not if the people of God will turn to him with a holy desperation. Back with your calls about the Son of God.
Fire we want, for fire we
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
All right, very, very exciting announcement. Tomorrow, beginning in the first hour, but possibly 2 hours, I'm going to be joined with an astrophysicist and a religious philosopher from Reasons to Believe, and we're going to talk about blood moons. I just got an email about it moments ago from a colleague. Have I said anything about blood moons? Am I going to be talking about it tomorrow? We're going to be talking about it from a spiritual perspective and from an astronomical perspective. And is this something prophetic and should we make an issue out of it? Is it just normal phenomenon? How should we view this? If God is giving us signs in the heavens, the moon turned to blood and so on, and this is an important prophetic sign, we don't want to miss it. If it's just something that is normal and occurs sequentially many different times and we shouldn't make too much about it, we don't want to be foolish and gullible. 866-34-TRUTH. Now, could it be that in the midst of the darkness and all the media filth and junk and corruption and pollution and our obsession with sports and entertainment and fashion and materialism and worldliness, that God has raised up the Bible series on TV? Yeah, not perfectly accurate. I watched one part about the book of Daniel, and I said, oh, why do they have this there? It's not the way it happened. And, oh, Daniel seems scared all the time, and I see him as more of a man of faith. But anyway, very powerful in many ways, widely watched, certainly sent a message to media people that there is an interest in this. Is the Son of God movie perhaps part of God's way of drawing people back to Jesus and stirring believers to speak of him in an unashamed way? If you saw the movie, I'd love to get your input. I have not yet seen it, nor did I see the Bible series where these parts of the Gospels were played on TV. All right, let's go to Valhalla, New York. Joseph, thanks for calling The Line of Fire.
God bless you, Dr. Brown. You're doing a wonderful work for the kingdom of God these many years. And know that your labor is not in vain. Know that all the enemy comes against you. God's got everything under control, and you're a trophy to the Lord Jesus Christ. I saw the movie, Dr. Brown, and the bottom line is that movie is seeds that are being sown. We're farmers. When Jesus was on earth there with the disciples said, we don't know these guys who are preaching in your name. Let's stop them. And Jesus said, no, as long as they're preaching about me, doesn't matter for what reason, just let them go preach. And the movie's not for believers. It's for non-believers. Many seeds are sown. A lot of the things that they said in the movie, Dr. Brown, was true. They talked about being born again. Showed Peter catching all that fish when he caught nothing all night long. And it showed the little fish that he caught. It didn't show the boat that came with Peter and John on it. But yet they did see the miracle. When he denied the Lord 3 times, it was there, but it wasn't the way the Bible says. The Bible says differently. I mean, it said the Roman soldier punched him in the face.
Yeah, and overall... Yeah, and I always wonder, you know, isn't the biblical version good enough? Why change it or try to enhance it or take away from it? But overall, I understand your perspective that Jesus is being glorified and presented. It may not be a perfect representation of what Scripture says, but it's going to plant seeds in people's hearts and provoke discussion. Hey, Joseph, thank you. And thank you for those very kind words and words of encouragement. I receive them in my heart. Thank you, sir, for the call. 866-34-TRUTH. And by the way, my posture here is not to nitpick. My posture is not to say, yeah, well, they didn't do this. Could have done this, should have done that. I haven't seen it. There are certain things I've seen. It's like, oh, no, come on, that's terrible. And other things I've thought wonderful, powerful, even though I would have rather done it this way or that way or I'm hypersensitive to any deviation from the biblical script, like others would be, but I also understand it's a Hollywood movie. Let's go to Warrington. We're not going to go there. Let us go to Brooklyn, New York. We're not going to go to Brooklyn. Wow. I guess callers just can't hold too long today about the Son of God movie. We'll stay in the New York area. Let's go to Manhattan. Cheryl, welcome to the Line of Fire. Did you get to see the Son of God movie?
Oh, I know, Dr. Michael, no, Dr. Brown, I didn't see the movie, but however, the caller that you was, that just called and was talking about parts of the movie that he saw, when he was talking about Peter in the boat with Jesus, I didn't see the movie, but I saw, like, little clips on, I think it was YouTube, or I don't know where I saw it, but it was on my smartphone, and it just struck me that I understand you just said it's a Hollywood movie, but at the same time, I don't feel that this, that the clip I saw represents the Word of God, because in this clip I saw that, that Jesus just put his hand in the water and he was like moving the waters. And then after that, then Peter, you know, threw the net into the water and all these fish, and he got all these fish. And I'm like, that's not, in the Bible it doesn't say that Jesus put his hand in the water and moved the water. I understand it's a Hollywood movie.
Yeah, and Cheryl,
it's found on certain things, but, you know, it's we need to have discernment about what's error and what's truth and how it's portrayed. Because I'm a believer, I'm a Jewish believer in Messiah Yeshua, but I'm thinking about people that don't know the Lord and they're going to see that movie and they don't know, and they think that, oh, well, this is the way it happened.
Right, so the question is, is that a triviality? I mean, I saw it, I thought, okay, it's, you know, supposed to be more fish, the boat starts to sink, another boat comes to help, that starts to sink, Peter's overwhelmed, he says, depart from me, for I'm a sinful man. You know, those are important parts to put in, how the presence, the miracle that Jesus wrought produced such deep conviction of sin. So, you know, those things missing, they do concern me, but are we just trivializing? Thank you for the call, Cheryl. Are we trivializing? In other words, is this something really powerful that millions of people are going to watch and that is going to spark conversation about who Jesus is? Does it plainly display him as the Son of God, virgin born? Does it plainly display him as the Jewish Messiah? Does it plainly display his death and resurrection? There are other Jesus movies over the years God has used. There are books that have had Christian messages in an imperfect way, but God has used them, and it's gotten people into Scripture. So I just want to get your impressions, but good or bad, that's why I'm asking. One of my friends, Christian journalist, was really concerned that, for example, John 3:16 is read, but it leaves out the vital words, will not perish. So it talks about getting eternal life, but doesn't talk about perishing. Jesus says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life, but doesn't say no one comes to the Father except through me. The movie absolutely affirms the deity of Christ, his virgin birth, life, crucifixion, resurrection, ascension, which is saying a lot. But there's no place that I notice, this is my journalist friend, it mentioning or making clear that the reason Jesus came and died was for the forgiveness of our sins. Is that just nitpicking because the overall message of the movie is so powerful? Or those important observations? 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go to British Columbia, Vancouver. Mike, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Oh, hey, Dr. Brown. I saw the movie on Saturday, and I thought it was pretty powerful, seeing Jesus nailed on the cross there, and, you know, the depiction of the temple and the city. It, you know, it really moved me.
Excellent. And would you recommend it to someone who doesn't know the Lord, doesn't believe in Jesus, for them to see it?
Oh, absolutely, definitely. It it wasn't perfect, but it gets people talking about Jesus and gets it out there to people.
Got it. All right, Mike, thank you very much for the call. Sorry to cut you off there, but thank you for the call and the good report all the way from beautiful Vancouver, BC, a city that really needs divine visitation as well. Peter in our New Yorkers, they're just really flighty today, guys. Gone before I can even get you. Okay, don't want to rush the next call. I want to share a segment of End of the American Gospel Enterprise with you before the next segment is over. Let me strongly encourage you to go to my website, askdrbrown.org, askdrbrown.org. And when you go there, click on latest article. Walt Disney insists on homosexual scout leaders. This is not made up. This is accurate. And one of the things I note in the article is for years now, we'll sound warnings about what's coming and we get mocked and vilified for it. And then when the thing happens, we're told, well, you're just not accepting progress. When are we going to recognize that these are not empty warnings? This is not Chicken Little saying the sky is falling. However, if we'll turn to God, He will meet. He will.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks for joining us on The Line of Fire, 866-34-TRUTH. Back to the Son of God movie, if you saw it. Love to hear your impressions. Mary, on Long Island, thanks for calling The Line of Fire. What were your impressions of the movie?
Hi, Dr. Brown. Thank you so much for everything you do, and I really, really, really appreciate so much how you uphold the truth no matter what. The Son of God, I actually saw it twice in 2 days. Not that I really intended that, but it happened, and it was good. I took one person who went with me who was an unbeliever, and I think she really appreciated very much. I just want to say, overall, I thought it was a very good movie. And I choose not to nitpick because I think we'll miss the whole message. I think it will plant a lot of seeds everywhere. I think it has great potential. And I was reading last night how the producers are seeing this long term, that it will reach about 1 billion people.
Mm.
And if that's the case, out of 1 billion, I'm sure there are many, many people that will be drawn to Christ, very much so, the unbelievers. So I just want to pinpoint a scene that I, since I saw it twice, I was really looking out for it the second time. I know it's not in the scriptures, but it's not impossible that God did that, but it did have a very strong message. And that is that Jesus, when he was holding the cross and he's all bloodied and everything, he's very up close to the cross itself. And I see his lips kissing the cross. Now, I know what someone previously said, that it's true that message that he really died for our sins, that atonement was necessary, etc., and especially that Mary seemed so surprised that her son was going to the cross. But that when he did that, when they had the actor do that, to me that was very powerful. And I really choked up because I thought, that's the beautiful work on the cross that Christ did for us, for our sins. And and I thought, wow. It was so sensitive. It was so subtle, too. I think I don't know that too many people saw it. I asked the people, and I wasn't imagining he really did it. The second time when I watched, I saw that, the lips on the cross. So watch out when you go. And
all right. All right. Thank you for the heads up, Mary. I appreciate that. 866-34-TRUTH. Just looking at this one article that was written, although the Son of God is a beautifully made, compassionate story of a very handsome man named Jesus. Some criticize him for being too handsome, contrary to biblical description that there is nothing special about his appearance, Isaiah 53. As a matter of fact, the gospel story was so watered down that if I were an unbeliever, I would not understand why Jesus died on the cross at all. There was no mention of hell. Sin is barely mentioned. There's nothing in the movie that explains just what following Jesus will bring. A few miracles were shown, but not one demon was cast out. There's nothing in the movie. Mary is seen as the only female follower of Jesus, and her sinful past is not mentioned. Jesus tells Peter, we're going to change the world. By the way, I think that's a good description of the Great Commission. Come, let's change the world together. Those are some of the criticisms that others have lodged about it. Callers thus far today have been very strongly positive with minor criticism for the most part. Let's go to Brooklyn. Rolando, thanks for calling The Line of Fire.
Yes, how are we doing? thank you, Dr. Brown, for having me. What I thought about the movie was really great. I actually went with my niece. She was actually 12 years old, and the movie actually had a great impact on her, in her life. So I actually took the movie, you know, and I mean, it was like some scriptures. It wasn't biblical, some things that he said, but over and over, the movie was really great.
Great. Rolando, thank you for weighing in. I very much appreciate it. Stay right there. We're going to get to more calls shortly. So stay right there, right through the break, and we'll get back to you with your calls. But what I'm wondering about is when we see the cross, we know exactly what it's about. We know exactly that it's Jesus dying for our sins. Would an unsaved person know that? Is that message in there? Or have they heard it enough that when they see it, it will come alive? That's just a fair question to ask. In my book, The End of the American Gospel Enterprise, a book that will stir your hearts, even if you're not a reader, you'll read this. You might even read it in one sitting. It'll stir your heart with hope for revival and what God can do when he visits. I wrote it in 1989. Leonard Ravenhill wrote the foreword to it, the author of Why Revival Tarries. God supernaturally connected us. The story itself is tremendously faith-building and encouraged me in terms of the promise of revival to come. And chapter 15, Fall on Your Face and Pray, I wrote this. How can we turn things around? How can we get out of the deep rut? What is the answer for those who have not grown spiritually for many months and years? What must we do to change? Because ultimately, friends, change begins with each of us individually. We must desire God more than anything else. We must seek him and cry out to him and long for him. We must make an absolute determination that nothing will separate us from him. We must be utterly ruthless with ourselves and cut away everything that offends. It is time to put away our idols. When God told Jacob to return to Bethel and build him an altar there, Jacob said to his household, "Get rid of the foreign gods you have with you and purify yourselves and change your clothes," Genesis 35:2. But why were foreign gods there at all? Jacob had met with God once at Bethel and entered into a covenant with him there, Genesis 28. But that was a long time ago. The Lord had kept up his part of the agreement. Jacob had let things slip. For years, he had let his family and servants worship foreign gods. He had allowed them to have divided hearts. Now, God was ready to visit him again. The idols had to go. Isn't that just like us? We have our Bethel experiences and powerfully meet with God, like Jacob in Genesis 28. We make a covenant to live for him and him alone, and then life goes on. The old habits begin to come back. The flesh starts to rule again. We witness less, pray less, and fast less. We're supposed to be growing. Our hearts no longer break for the sick and destitute. And then God says, "Go back to Bethel and worship me there." All of a sudden, we wake up. We take inventory of our lives and are shocked. We have been living according to the desires of the flesh. We've hardly denied ourselves at all. Jesus is our limited Lord. Sometimes we're ashamed of him. And I go on, friends, from there with a solution and words of encouragement, and what will happen as we pray, and the reminder of the words of Moody: the world has not yet seen what God can do through a person completely dedicated to him. Friends, we're on the airwaves not just to educate, not just to equip, but to stir hearts for revival. And as revival touches the church, even if it's only a remnant that gets radically turned around, our lives will then touch the world, and there will be a Jesus-based moral and cultural revolution through the gospel, not through intimidation or anger or force, but through the power of the gospel. Get this book, The End of the American Gospel Enterprise, today. Oh, yeah, and it also talks about the carnal selling of the gospel in America. It's yours for your gift of any size as you partner with us to make a difference through the radio, through world missions, and through our outreach to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Call right now. 1-800-278-9978. That's 1-800-278-9978. Once more, 1-800-278-9978. Your gift of any size. I want to send you The End of the American Gospel Enterprise. My bottom line today: yes, it's dark. Yes, things are messed up in our nation. But it's not too late, because we serve a living God. Well, have you heard? The Walt Disney Company is now insisting on openly homosexual Boy Scout leaders. And what about Russia invading Ukraine? And have you seen the Son of God movie? Is it biblical or not? We've got you covered today right here on The Line of Fire.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Friends, this is exactly where you want to be on a Monday as we catch up with what's happening in the world and happening in our society. Michael Brown, welcome to the broadcast, 866-34-TRUTH, to weigh in. In a little while, I'm going to go to your calls. If you've seen the Son of God movie, either at a special showing on Thursday or over the weekend, I want to hear from you your impressions. The movie has been powerfully endorsed by many Christian leaders. Pastors rented out movie theaters on Thursday last week for advanced showings. There have been many rave reviews about it. Overall, it's the most powerful depiction of Jesus, the Son of God, that has yet been done by Hollywood. Others are critical. Others are saying that the Jesus figure, you know, looked too hot and handsome. Others were saying he wasn't Jewish enough. Others were saying that there was not a sufficient emphasis on sin, and therefore you wouldn't understand what the atonement message was about. We're going to discuss that, as well as some other media-related issues, Walt Disney. And the question is, Disney ready for a gay princess? Huh? And I wrote an article that closes with the question, what's next, a gay Mickey Mouse? Wouldn't surprise me. You think, what in the world? We'll get to that and a few thoughts about the major crisis taking place overseas involving Ukraine, Russia, China, America, and the nations. But I want to go now to a special guest, Chris Stone with Faith Driven Consumers. Chris, thanks so much for joining us. I know this is a busy time for you with the movie coming out, but I think a lot of folks caught comments that you made recently about the Noah movie. You weren't too enthusiastic about that, were you, Chris?
Well, at the time that those comments came out, we were reviewing what was available in the media, what people were saying who had seen the movie, and we were basing our comments on that. We were concerned at that point that the core biblical message had been altered and that a more Hollywood creation, a message of Hollywood creation was there. Since then, we've talked to many people who are close to the project, and we think that there are many areas where Christians will pause and areas of concern, but there are also areas which are much truer to the message than perhaps we thought originally. It's still going to be a toss-up at best, I think.
Got it. And of course, the actor involved, Russell Crowe, is not particularly keen on the Noah figure as being a benevolent character, but he's still just acting. What about the Son of God movie? Take a minute now just to give your overall impression, then we'll come back with a couple of criticisms and questions that people have raised. But your overall impression of the Son of God movie?
Well, first of all, many of us have seen the movie in a different form, being the miniseries of the Bible, so there shouldn't be a whole lot of surprise for us. In a general sense, we think it's a good movie, well done, and something that will resonate with faith-driven consumers. There obviously are, with any Hollywood production, there'll be things that we would like to have been done better or things that don't meet our perfect model of how it should be. But considering this is Hollywood that produced it, I think we can be grateful for how true it is, and we can show our appreciation by going and seeing it.
Got it. All right. We come back. I've got a couple of questions for Chris in terms of an unbeliever seeing it and also how Christians can respond to the media positively and negatively. And then I want to get to your calls if you saw the Son of God movie or if you watched the Bible series carefully enough to weigh in here. We'll be right back. A whole lot more to come today.
Send it, Lord.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
A star shall come out of Jacob, and a scepter shall rise out of Israel.
The Word became flesh.
All right, part of the trailer of the Son of God movie. I'm speaking with Chris Stone, a faith-driven consumer. Chris, you make a good point when you say we could obviously criticize certain aspects of the movie, but it is Hollywood after all, and perhaps many, many tens of millions or hundreds of millions of people will ultimately see it around the world, and it will point to Jesus and glorify Jesus and contain some of his teaching and his miracles, but his death and resurrection. What about bringing a non-believer? Do you think that that person, without further help from a Christian, would grasp what the gospel message is, or is that where the Christian friend needs to come in and fill in the gaps?
Well, I think that the core purpose that God has given us is to share the gospel with others. And I'm not being flippant when I say I've never read the Bible. It says produce a movie so that people will be brought to the Lord.
Uh-huh.
So you're right. Hollywood produced this thing, and they're not in the business of missions. I think we can be thankful for what they have provided. It's fairly accurate and fairly consistent, and it provides an opportunity for us to share the gospel, and it provides a point of curiosity generation that people who do not have our faith walk can look at it and go, oh, I might be interested in hearing more. So we look at it on the positive. We look at it as an opportunity to share the gospel and a conversation starter.
All right, what about the accusation that Mark Burnett and Roma Downey speak as if they're Christians, but they're actually really not? They're into New Age, and that therefore the message of the movie is not fully Christian. I don't know if you've heard that, or just dismiss it as utterly fringe, but these things do come up, and then they get circulated online.
Well, obviously, and we have seen some of those. Some of our community members have even posted a particular blog to that effect on our website. And because it's a community of people, we obviously allow them to share freely. To your exact question, I don't know them personally, so I can't speak to their faith, but they have produced a movie which will have purposes, and again, I'm not calling them a sinner, but God has used many sinners,
mm-hmm.
He's used me, and I'm a sinner, to share his word. So I'm not so much looking at the source as I am looking to God's outcome and for him to be glorified.
Right. Look, I just hear the trailer, and I get stirred in my heart just hearing the trailer, let alone, you know, I haven't seen the movie yet, but let alone seeing it. I want you to help us with one other thing before you go, Chris. I want to play a clip for you. It's about the Walt Disney Foundation, and, well, hear it, then I'll tell you how you can help my listening audience.
The Walt Disney Company is cutting funding to the Boy Scouts of America because of its ban on gay leaders. Beginning in 2015, Disney will halt all donations to the group. The Boy Scouts lifted its policy on gay youth last year, but a ban on gay adult leaders remains. Disney does not give money directly to the Boy Scouts, but donates money in exchange for volunteer hours. The company has given small grants to local troops and PACs. A Scouts spokesman said the decision will affect the organization's ability to serve children.
All right. And then just this clip from Good Luck Charlie on the Disney Channel. Clip number 5, Joey.
Bob, honey, let's face it. Whether it's a mom and a dad or two moms or two dads, nobody likes your bug stories.
Okay, so Walt Disney, famous children's movie maker, creator of Donald Duck and Mickey Mouse and so on, more and more aggressively pro-gay activists to the point they've given the Boy Scouts of America an ultimatum that if they don't allow openly homosexual Boy Scout leaders by 2015, they'll pull any funding. We're not expecting Walt Disney to be Christian. We're not expecting the world to be holy. But parents watch these things. They get upset. They think, what in the world can we do? You often feel powerless and frustrated. Chris, what can they do, and how can your organization help make a difference?
Well, that's primarily the point of a faith-driven consumer, is to be an advocate for the faith-driven consumer community, to reach out to brands like Disney and say, hey, we understand that you have the freedom to express yourself and to make a choice. And if you choose one group over another, then that will affect how we interact with you. Not because we're going to call for a boycott, but simply like everybody else. We do the business with those that we know and that we like and those that embrace us. And in the statement that they made shows that they have chosen someone other than the faith-driven consumer community, and we would encourage them to consider that and to consider if they can, in fact, embrace Christians as well. It's unfortunate that they made that ultimatum, and the clip that you played from the show is an example of why I try not to expose my young children to that particular show and others, because that's not the message that I want to teach them. Yeah, we're trying to teach our families and share a Christian perspective, and we're looking for people who will embrace that perspective, not necessarily choose us over everyone else, but who will embrace that perspective and reach out to us and say, hey, you're welcome here too.
Got it. So, Chris, what's the best way for our listeners to connect with you?
The best way is at faithdrivenconsumer.com. That's faithdrivenconsumer.com. You can view brand reviews of different companies. We have now a film review forum. It's a place where you can come and get information. It's a place you can interact, and it's a place where you can speak out, and we'll convey that message to brands and to Hollywood studios, people like Disney, and say, this is what our consumers are asking for.
Yeah, and you'll do it in a way that represents the spirit of your constituents, too, so that we can be confident that the voice will come across in a way that honors the Lord. Hey, Chris, thanks for doing this. I know you've had almost miraculous, rapid growth in what you've done, and suddenly become a voice, whether it was the Duck Dynasty controversy or other movies coming out. So may the Lord's blessing be with you. May he give you more grace and expansion in what you're doing. And thanks for joining us.
Well, thank you for having us, and you're exactly right. God has blessed us with a forum, and we're trying to honor him with that forum.
All right, faithdrivenconsumer.com. That was Chris Stone. All right, did you see the Son of God movie? Let's get some more feedback from you, our listeners. Debbie in... Oh, I guess Debbie's not... That was... Well, I got kind of an echo of a busy signal there. 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go to Middletown. Whoa, all right, folks have been holding for a while. Hey, Dwight, I guess just we lost a few. Let's just check to make sure we've still got some folks right here before we go back to the phones. 866-34-TRUTH. Manny in the Bronx, thanks for joining us on the Line of Fire.
Hi, thanks. God bless, Dr. Brown. A few of us from Harvest Field went to see it this weekend, and I took my 13-year-old boy, and they asked him if he liked the movie, and he said he liked it, but that he read the book and that the book was better. So I hope people would read the book, you know?
And, yeah, I think a lot of people probably will. Overall, did you leave inspired or edified or stirred?
Yeah, I liked it also, but I just pray that these other movies that come out, like from PureFlix, like there's another movie coming out called God's Not Dead, that they stay based on Christian reality, that they don't mess those movies up with the Hollywood-based movies, you know, because there's two different people producing movies. There's Hollywood, and then there's Christians that are truly staying fast to the reality. So
I
hope that they don't mess it up.
Yeah. Hey, Manny, thank you for the comments. I do appreciate it. 866-34-TRUTH. Okay, I don't want to rush my next call, so some of you have been holding for a while from the last hour. I will get you, as soon as we come back, on the other side of the break. I just want to say one thing. There is a soulish, emotional inspiration you can get when you see a movie, and you can get stirred, and you're excited, but it's just soulish and emotional. There's another thing that comes from the Word of God. I once saw a movie, a Jesus movie, and Jesus was teaching in the movie. And as he taught the words, there, he was quoting Scripture, the Sermon on the Mount, I got suddenly stirred. It was a life-changing moment in terms of a difficult situation with a difficult landlord decades ago, and I was able to overcome evil with good. You know, you can just get excited emotionally about a movie, and how long is that going to last? But the reality of the gospel, man, that'll last forever. We'll be right back with your calls. Whole bunch more to cover today on The Line of Fire.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back to The Line of Fire, 866-34-TRUTH. Someone was posting on my Facebook page, well, the Son of God movie, it really was about Jesus. It was accurate about Jesus, but not accurate about Yeshua. In other words, it didn't adequately paint him as he would have been as a Torah-observant first-century Jew. That's another interesting perspective. 866-34-TRUTH. And again, it may be true that you can question the Christian commitment of Mark Burnett and his wife, Roma Downey, who are behind the Son of God movie and the Bible series and what Touched by an Angel. Others would say, look, there's a lot of good they're doing. We don't know about their personal lives. But if you saw the Son of God movie, I want to take a few more calls on that. Let's go to Anthony in Tampa, Florida. Thanks for calling The Line of Fire.
Thank you, Dr. Brown. My take on this movie is, why is he always portraying Jesus as this dashing young... The portrayal, it just seems like we can't attract people to the theaters unless there's an actor who's got a dashing features on his face that will be... You read Isaiah 53, and it gives you the description of what Jesus was like. It just seems to be... If it's blessing people, great, but is it really an accurate portrayal of Jesus Christ?
Yeah, there's an article from Carol Costello on CNN from last Friday, Hot Jesus, Must He Be Sexy? I found myself gawking at the actor portraying Jesus. Diogo Morgado is one hot dude. His Jesus looks more like Brad Pitt than that nice man with the beard in all those paintings. She says, clearly we have a new trend. A more appealing Jesus is not just a better prophet. He's sexy. So, according to Reverend Lisa Jenkins, senior pastor of St. Matthew's Baptist Church in Harlem, anything that is sexy is going to attract people. People who might not go to the movie might want to check it out, particularly non-Christians. I don't see a problem with Jesus being attractive given our cultural context. I don't recall a Jesus who was not appealing to the eye. That's Hollywood. Interesting point. And of course, Anthony, you've raised a point that others have as well. I appreciate that. Let's read from Isaiah 53. But thank you for the call, Anthony. 866-34-TRUTH. There it tells us about the Son of God, about the servant of the Lord who was not even recognized by his own people, my own Jewish people. We didn't recognize that he was dying for our sins. It says this about him in Isaiah 53, and it's not just about his crucifixion. Certainly when it talks about him bearing our pains and sorrows, and we thought he was stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted, it's talking about the cross. He was pierced for our transgressions, etc., talking about the cross. But his origins, he grew up before him, before the Lord, like a young plant, like a root out of dry ground. He had no form or majesty that we should look at him, and no beauty that we should desire him. Now, it does say that he grew in stature and wisdom, with the favor of God upon him in Luke, the third chapter. And yet, his outward appearance apparently was not appealing, that, oh, wow, check him out, look at this. The crowds followed him, not because of that, but because of the glory of God, because of the healing power, because of demons being driven out. But are we just nitpicking here? Is the overall effect very powerful nonetheless? 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go to Carlstadt, New Jersey. Bobby, thank you for calling the Line of Fire.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
You're welcome.
Excuse me. I have a sore throat.
All right, hang in there.
Yeah, I'm okay. This movie, I don't know how many percentage of the people that went to see it, and I think it was very high.
From
the feedback I'm getting on the phone here, that were Christians. And what they did was, punched a lot of holes in it, which were very obvious. One man says he wasn't punched in the face. How does he know Jesus wasn't punched in the face? He could have been punched 10 times in the face.
But all right, so yeah, I think he was talking about Peter there. So you just feel that people... Where criticisms
point,
are they're minor criticisms,
yeah,
that we
like
ought not to make.
Without the Holy Spirit, maybe this will have, well, you know, I was hopeful that Hollywood might start coming around until you read that part about the Boy Scouts. And, you know, let's face it, that's the way the world things have got to get worse before the return of Yeshua, and that's the way it is.
Yeah, well, let me say this, though. I'm not looking for the world to do godly things. When worldly people do worldly things, it doesn't surprise me. When sinners sin, it doesn't surprise me. But I thank God that God does raise up powerful movies through Hollywood. I remember years ago, Chariots of Fire, powerful Christian message raised up. And now through some independent filmmakers, Christian messages are getting out. And through some mainstream ones, God can work through all kinds of different things. We'll get more of your impressions when we come back on the other side of the break. 866-34-TRUTH. I closed my book, The End of the American Gospel Enterprise, which I wrote in 1989 in a burst of inspiration in a three-week period. And then God supernaturally connected me with Leonard Ravenhill. One day I'll tell the story on the air. He wrote the foreword to the book at the age of 82, 83. And then we were very close friends the last 5 years of his life. But here's how I end the book. The last chapter of the book, God is going to move across this planet one last time. There will be a final outpouring of the Spirit that will supersede all previous outpourings. The last great revival will come and the whole earth will be affected. Only God's kingdom will remain. The Lord will shake the heavens and the earth. Everything man-made will fall. Human empires will totter and crumble. God's people will stand back in awe. He will visit this earth again. And of course, Jesus will return and destroy wickedness from the earth. All the revivals combined will not equal this great and mighty move. This final revival will impact the world. It will be the visible display of the glory of the Lord. It will touch every part of the globe. And there's a call, a promise for us to personally turn our hearts and repent and look to Him. I want to get this book into as many hands as possible. We've got to have revival. And more than anything I know in terms of what I've written, just this book can spark something. It can spark you to pray. It can spark you to believe. It can spark you to recognize that things have been messed up in America before, but God has answered in prayer and shaken the nation. And that's what must happen. And it can only happen from above as God sparks our hearts as we seek His face. The book is yours for your gift of any size. So be as generous as you can, or pray and do what the Lord lays on your heart. But stand with us as we partner together for revival and Jesus' revolution in America and in the nations, and for the salvation of the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Call right now, 1-800-278-9978, to get your copy. And by the way, this is a book you'll have a hard time putting down, and you will read it and your heart will burn. 1-800-278-9978. That's 1-800-278-9978. We will be right back.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown.
your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Well, in the 1 minute break that I just had, I greeted some of the most special people in my life. You say, why don't you bring them on the phone? Well, I've had them on, bring them on the air. I've had them on the air a couple times in the past, and they're getting older now, 13 and 10. Two of our grandkids that live nearby, I've interviewed them for fun about horse riding and baseball. I tried it when they were much younger, just for fun, but got to greet the grandkids, which brings me to an important moral point today on the line of fire. Michael Brown, thank you for joining us, 866-34-TRUTH. Before we get back to the question of the Son of God movie, if you saw it, I'd love to hear from you and get your impressions of it, pro or con. But as I constantly remind you about what's happening culturally in America, and if you haven't read my latest article, please do. Walt Disney insists on openly homosexual. Sorry for mispronouncing. Walt Disney insists on homosexual scout leaders. The headline's not a joke. It's not a spoof. They're threatening to withdraw funding from the Boy Scouts of America unless the Boy Scouts install openly homosexual scout leaders, which is opening the door for more and more problems and more trouble, despite the fact that I'm sure you'd have many gay dedicated scout leaders. But as we see the degeneration of culture in so many ways, we have to remind ourselves of something. It's not just about us, it's about our kids and grandkids. Dietrich Bonhoeffer said the ultimate test of a moral society is the kind of world that it leaves to its children. So I ask this over and over again, what kind of world are we leaving to our kids and grandkids? Just saw my grandkids. What kind of world are we handing over to them as they're growing up, as they are raising their kids? What kind of world is it going to be? A.W. Tozer said this generation plus ago, religion today is not transforming the people, it is being transformed by the people. Boy, I thought that started with me when I said, instead of us changing the world's changing us. Looks like Tozer said it a long time before I did. It is not raising the moral level of society, it is descending to society's own level and congratulating itself that it has scored a victory because society is smiling, accepting its surrender. Albert Einstein said, the world will not be destroyed by those who do evil, but by those who watch them without doing anything. And we have an example, friends, of this playing out right in front of our eyes with the Soviet or the Russian invasion of the Crimean Peninsula of Ukraine. Now, it is true that a disproportionate percentage of the people living there are ethnically Russian. It is true that the Ukrainian government has been terribly corrupt. There's been some improvement in recent years, but as I've talked to our missionaries living there, it's been terribly corrupt. Some of you who follow boxing know one of the heavyweight champions, Vitaly Klitschko, massive 6'7" athlete, has quit boxing in order to run to be the leader of Ukraine to fight against corruption. You know about the coup that took place, the fall of the government. Right now, a Baptist Christian man is leading the nation. Read about other Christian leaders, international leaders, going to meet with him privately. And during this time, now Russia brazenly invades Crimea. Based on what? China is now siding with Russia. Many are concerned that the response from America has been tepid. Will it go beyond Crimea to Ukraine as a whole? This is one of those situations where you realize that when we criticize past generations for not doing more and not standing more firmly, you think, well, what should we do? And the moral questions come in, and what's our responsibility, and are we going to get into a war with Russia over this? And I don't know exactly how this should play out. I know that Russia should be told in no uncertain terms, you've got no business being there. But you see, there's always a reason for inaction. We have to ask ourselves, forget anybody else, what's stopping me? What's stopping me? You're right back with your calls about the Son of God movie.
God of light, hear our cry. Send the fire.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks, friends, for joining us, 866-34-TRUTH. Before we go to the phones, let's play clip number 12, Joey, just to set the stage for the Son of God movie. Again, if you watched it, were you blessed by it? Would you recommend it to an unbeliever? Do you feel it glorified the biblical Jesus? Do you feel that it gets the message across? Or do you feel that it's just another negative Hollywood mixture production? Let's listen to this from the Son of God trailer.
Your sins are forgiven, my son.
I thought only God could do that.
Which is easier, to say his sins are forgiven, or say he get up and walk? There is something unusual about him.
We must arrest this false prophet.
But what if he is who they say he is?
Won't somebody tell me?
Peter, come.
Answer if you can.
One of you here will betray me to my enemies.
I want someone to tell me, what is the soul of a man?
All right, back to your calls, 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go to Islip, New York. Margarita, thanks for calling.
Hi, this is Margarita. I just want to tell you that I lost my mother a week ago, and I buried her on Tuesday, and my daughter was home from college.
I'm sorry to hear. How old was your mom, Margarita?
My mom was 85, but she had a fall on the driveway, and she slipped and hit her head on ice. And by the time my sister found her, because she stays with my sister, she already had passed on. So
I'm very sorry to hear that, Margarita.
Know, and we're true believers of God. You know, we just, that's what's getting us all through. But I went Saturday night, 11 o'clock showing. I said to my daughter, you know, let's go see that movie, Son of God. I saw The Passion years ago, and actually I walked out of that because that was, like, too much violence, what they were
doing.
Yeah,
I understand. Yep.
But this movie, I'm just going to tell you, a lot of callers, not only did it make me, you know, put the stamp on what happened with my mom, but the movie was so intact that when they were whipping Jesus, I mean, I had to close my eyes. I just felt every pain that he had. I think the movie was excellent. It was just a movie you just, without it, you had to have a cry in this movie, the emotion. And then at the end, when he rose, it was like, well, in my feelings that my mom's gone, and I was very close to my mom, it just brought everything into place. You know, what I believe in,
yes.
You know, I believe, and so this movie, and as far as his looks or whatever, it just baffles me how people go to look at what the actor looks like. He was excellent.
All right, Margarita, especially with what you've just passed through, these words are all the more meaningful that it stirred your heart into the reality of who Jesus is and the reality of eternal life through him. Hey, may the Lord continue to comfort and strengthen your family, and may your lives be a witness to many others in your mom's memory. Thank you for the call. I appreciate it. 866-34-TRUTH. I, myself, have not seen the movie, not had an opportunity to, nor did I see what would be much of the movie when it aired on the Bible series. Larry in Greensboro, North Carolina, thanks for calling The Line of Fire.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. My wife and I went out and saw the movie Friday night, and overall, we were impressed with the movie. One thing we found very curious was that Mary was with the disciples practically everywhere they went, including the Garden of Gethsemane. She was actually in the boat when Peter stepped out onto the water, and we didn't see that as following Scripture. The only place we didn't see her when the disciples were in any particular location was in the upper room during the Last Supper. That was the only place we didn't see her. So that seems pretty curious. So I wouldn't give the movie a thumbs up on 100% accuracy, but overall we liked the film.
Yeah, and of course, somehow Hollywood, unless it's like the Jesus film, which I think is just scripture played out and shown to, I think, a couple billion people worldwide, you're Hollywood's always going to deviate. I never understand why. You know, why did this improve on the biblical narrative, especially when the biblical narrative is far more dramatic and powerful and inspiring? But to get out the main part of the message in terms of the deity of the Son of God and his death and his resurrection and things like that, that's obviously of great importance. Again, if you bring a non-believer, they may not know, why is he dying on the cross? What's this about? So you may need to take the rest of the message to that person and use the movie as a powerful vehicle to do that. 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go to Charlotte, North Carolina. All right. All right. Then I won't. Let's go to Euless, Texas. Anissa, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hi, how are you?
I'm great, thank you. Bless.
Okay, good. I went to see the movie last night and through ice, because the roads were icy, we still went, and it was, I agree with Margarita, it was excellent. And I don't understand where Mary, but if you know the Word of God, and even if you don't know the Word of God, I think the scripture was spoken clearly, and I think that it didn't overwhelm people, and they moved nicely through it, and it gave you just what you know, just enough to intrigue you to be interested in finding out more. You know, it didn't give you everything, because it can't give you everything. We'd be there forever, but it gave them enough to draw them in to say, I want to know more about that, to seek it out. And that's what I think the Holy Spirit calls us to do, to seek it out. I think Roma Downey and Mark Burnett did an excellent job. I think the movie was great, and I'm just saying that because I've been someone who's been sitting at the feet. I've been like Mary, not like Martha. I see the busyness, but I've been sitting at the feet of Jesus, and so much of the scripture touched my life last night. I left there, you know, just I like Margarita. I felt, you know, it just every time it was said, I was like, I just felt the presence come upon me and just be like, just affirmation. Awesome. You know, the Word of God is so powerful, and it's awesome. And then I just want to add, I was a Cub Scout leader for 7 years. I led my son's troop from Tiger Cubs to Weeblos too. And then I tasked him to men as he went into Boy Scouts. He's almost an Eagle Scout now. And, you know, there are 12 character traits that the Boy Scouts stand on, which is trustworthy, loyal, helpful, friendly, courteous, kind, obedient, cheerful, thrifty, brave, clean, and reverent. And it's kind of like the fruits of the Spirit. And then their motto is to be prepared, and their slogan is to do a good turn daily, which whether, you know, you are gay or not, you can do those things, but honor, it says, in our law, it says, on my honor, I will do my best to do my duty to God and my country and to obey the Scout law, to help other people at all times, to keep myself physically strong, mentally awake, and morally straight. And
yeah, it does become ironic, Anissa, the whole idea of morally straight when you're openly homosexual, just because of straight meaning what it means in our society. You know, even in quote gay terminology, straight is not gay. But thank you for the call. It's in reference again to Walt Disney Company insisting that Boy Scouts of America now install and welcome openly gay scout leaders. And listen, just common sense would tell you it's not a good idea. Common sense would tell you it's not a good idea. Am I saying that most gay men are pedophiles? No, of course not. Of course not. But have we learned nothing from priests, Catholic priests, who were same-sex attracted, abusing altar boys? Have we learned nothing from that? Have we not recognized that you have a better chance of sexual abuse happening in situations like this, plus the role models that many of the kids are not going to agree with, but now you can't criticize? What if the scout leader and his partner want to lead the way? You just have to accept that. 866-34-TRUTH. Back to the Son of God movie. Let's go to Atlanta, Georgia. Wesley, what was your take on the movie?
Good afternoon, Dr. Brown. I had the privilege yesterday of seeing the movie with a different set of eyes. The reason I say that, I am legally blind, and I heard the Word of God presented in a clear, concise, and very contemporary way. but I could not see the actors or the sensationalistic Hollywood take. I encourage everyone to see his very timely portrayal of the Word of God.
Wesley, thank you, sir, for sharing that perspective, which certainly is unique. I said before, just hearing the clips from the trailer stir my heart. So again, I haven't seen the movie yet. I'm fairly confident, and thank you, sir, for the call. I really appreciate that, sharing your perspective. I'm fairly sure if I see it, I'll be tremendously stirred. I'm like, oh, why do I have to change that? Well, I have to do that, because that's just the way I'm going to be seeing a Bible-based movie. But I would assume it would be tremendously stirred. We'll see. I'll let you know. More of your calls when we come back.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Just got this email from members of our ministry team, very, very solid, mature people, about the Son of God movie. We saw the movie. It was great. Moving, impacting, felt God speak to me during the movie. Great challenge to my life as a longtime Christian. Still the greatest story ever told. Unsaved would be impacted and know that Christ died for our sins. Got time for a few more calls. 866-34-TRUTH. T in Sarasota, Florida. What were your thoughts on the movie?
First of all, I want to tell you, you are one of my heroes. And that puts you in a very elite group. And the reason why is because you're brave. You don't change your story. You don't be politically correct because you want to tell the truth. And the truth is not politically correct. Two things about this movie. Number one, I'm very upset that they weren't brave, that they took Satan out of the movie, because some people that have rather vivid imaginations think that the Satan character looks like Obama. I don't see that. I do see that they took Satan out. And the other thing that really disturbs me is I see this as a moneymaker for those two Hollywood people. This thing was basically on the History Channel last year for free. And if they were real Christians and they really wanted to spread the word of Jesus Christ, they might find other ways for free like they did last year on TV instead of charging people $13 a head to see this movie. I have my antenna up very sensitively when it comes to Christ. And when I think somebody's trying to make a buck off him, it really, really upsets me, especially when they change the story around to suit those of the politically correct ilk. And I was wondering what your comments might be.
Well, I haven't seen the movie. First, thank you for the kind words. I do appreciate it. And yeah, it is my heart to speak the truth, regardless of cost or consequences or what is going to come out of it. I haven't seen the movie yet, so I can't comment further. I would imagine they made plenty of money airing this on TV. In other words, it was something that was paid for. And if you want to get this out to the largest possible audience, on a certain level, it's going to be a paid audience going to the movie theater and then shown on TV afterwards. I don't know the motivation. I don't know that. When I hear all these people being moved and stirred by it, many, many Christian solid believers, that gets my attention as well. But trust me, my antenna is very high as well when it comes to the message of Jesus. So as I get an opportunity to look at it, I will, and I'll give you my honest comments at that point. But thank you for weighing in, and you'll appreciate the title of my book that we're making available to folks for a gift of any size, The End of the American Gospel Enterprise. Thank you, sir, for the call. 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go to Toms River, New Jersey. Judy, thanks for calling The Line of Fire.
Thank you, Dr. Brown, for taking my call. I'm actually grateful to the Lord that I'm one of the last people, because I've had the privilege of listening for the past 2 hours. And one of the questions that were on my heart, it was touched on slightly, but not specifically addressed.
Yes, go ahead.
Okay. I can hear how this movie is touching many lives by the phone calls you've had. And as Christians, we are stirred when we see the life of Jesus. There's no question. Here's what happened with me was I was planning on taking my stepson to see the movie for the premiere Friday night, and then I saw some of the articles that were coming out on Facebook online about the background of Roma Downey and her husband with their affiliation to New Age and also Jonathan Edwards. And it, you know, my antennas are up too. So
yeah,
John Edwards, not Jonathan
Edwards.
I'm sorry,
right.
John Edwards. I thought it said Jonathan Edwards. If I remembered, I'm sorry. But yes, and that she was involved in making a CD for one of his books. I don't know if these are true or not, but if they were, of course, I would sway to the cautious side. And my concern was that if the production company is financed New Age and Roma Downey and her husband are New Age and they practice some of these cult, you know, practices of speaking to the dead, then if they're on all of our Christian programming saying that they are Christians who love Jesus, which I've seen the clips too. I couldn't wait to see the movie. It looked so beautiful, and I was so disappointed.
Here's the thing. Just to jump in, because time is short here. Oh, by the way, great point, Joey. That History Channel is only available on paid TV. I didn't even realize that, but you're right. So it wasn't free unless you're already subscribing. But here's what I would say. One of the most powerful Jesus movies that was made in my lifetime. If I'm correct, the producer, either producer or director, was openly homosexual. And yet it was a very powerful presentation. You've had people put out movies that don't believe any of it, but somehow they've been gifted by God to portray things powerfully in art form or in music or in other ways. So I think we have to step back and see the impact that this has on lives. And does it distort the biblical message in such a way that it takes away from the truth of the gospel itself, or are there minor criticisms in overall a majestic presentation? Are all these Christian leaders just joining the bandwagon of being duped yet again, or is it because they have seen Jesus radically presented in Hollywood in a very, very powerful way? I'll let you know my impressions as I'm able to see the movie myself. All right, we are out of time for calls, but not out of time to share something very edifying with you. My book, The End of the American Gospel Enterprise, was burst in my heart. It was birthed and it was burst. It exploded out of me in a three-week period of time in 1989. And as I wrote in the preface to the book, this book represents the culmination of 7 years of consuming hunger for the glory of God. It articulates the cry of my heart and the longing of my soul. It shares the burden of my life. It is high time for us to awake from our slumber. For 7 years now, the word of repentance and the promise of revival has been my meat and drink. Too many times God's holiness has been violated. Too often His Spirit has been quenched. Time and again His people have fallen short. Now He is saying, enough. You must get right with me while there is still light. I am ready to send the flood. And this book stirred in my heart and has been used by God's grace to stir many with a passion for personal revival, for changing their own lives in God, and for seeing a nation changed. I want to get this into your hands. The best way we can do it is to offer it to you for your gift of any size. My book, The End of the American Gospel Enterprise, it'll tell you what revival's done in American history, how the nation has been changed, and how God can meet us if we'll turn to Him in holy desperation. This gives you the opportunity to partner with us on the front lines, and we want to get this into your hands. 1-800-278-9978. Be as generous as you're able to be. We want to send this, though, for your gift of any size. 1-800-278-9978. One more time, that's 1-800-278-9978. My bottom line today, as the Son of God movie comes out, whether it's perfectly accurate or not, let us use it as best as we can to help point people to the Jesus of the Scriptures.